God and Father, the God of all grace, by grace we stand, what have we that we have not received? Where would we be were not for thy sovereign grace, reaching down, picking us up, making us thine own, bringing us into thy very family, with the nearness and dearness of thy Son? Blessed God, all eternity will be too short to utter all thy praise for thy matchless kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. We thank thee, blessed God, for the Spirit of God to, during this little interim of time, ere we see our Savior face to face, who delights to minister Christ to our hearts and to occupy us with that eternal scene to which we are journeying on to. We do pray now that as we open the sacred page, that we may have teachable spirits, and that we may realize it is the word of the living God, that word which will live and abide forever when heaven and earth shall pass away, and may it have its effect upon our lives and our manner here below. Do look to thee for thy help as we wait upon thee, giving thanks in the name of our precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Another parable spake he unto them, The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Then Jesus sent the multitude away, and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil, the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them that do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth, and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea, and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore, and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus saith unto them, Have ye understood all these things? They say unto him, Yea, Lord. Then said he unto them, Therefore, every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old.
Well, in the first parable, we had the Lord as the sower, and the seed was all good, and we had before us the condition of the soil into which that seed was received. In the second parable, we have the Lord as the sower again, and the seed is all good, but we find men in responsibility here. It says, while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares. And so we find Paul to the elders at Ephesus telling them to keep watch over the flock of God over which the Holy Ghost had made them overseers, but they didn't. And so we see very early in the history of the church that tares came in. It was the work of the enemy to bring in those. They were distinguishable from the wheat, but they grew up with the wheat because there was not diligence in the things of God is to watch over that. I just point this out in connection with sleep, because sleep is used two ways in Scripture in the original language. One has to do with the condition of the body. And so we get that when Christ, after that Christ rose from the dead, the bodies of the saints that slept arose. And so the Apostle Paul's body is asleep. His condition now is he's in the glory, unclothed. His body is in a grave somewhere. And we perhaps have grandparents or brethren whom we love, and their body is in a grave, their bodies are asleep. Scripture never speaks of a man dying and being in soul sleep. That's an error of the enemy. But many people are alive and they're in soul sleep, believers and unbelievers alike. The rich man was in a state of sleep, but he certainly was not in a soul sleep in hell, because he lifted up his eyes in hell. And he was conscious. He lived this life absolutely unconscious of his peril and so on. But it's possible that as believers that we could be in a state of sleep, because it says here, while the men slept, the enemy sowed tares. And so we get the same thought in 1 Thessalonians 5. Let us not sleep as those that sleep in the night. Is that it's possible for, there wouldn't be an exhortation if it wasn't possible for us as believers to be asleep. And also, we have the parable of the 10 virgins. They all slumbered and slept. 5 were real, and 5 weren't. 5 had oil in their lamps, and 5 didn't. But if you were walking by, they all looked the same. And so here we find man in responsibility asleep, and the enemy does his work, and so the work of oversight to keep watch over the house of God is an important work. The city of Jerusalem had walls and gates and bars, and it was for the protection of the God's habitation in peace. And so it's well worth reading the book of Nehemiah to see what happened when there wasn't cares to that. How the enemy actually got a place, right, a lodging place, right in the enemy of the truth of God got a lodging place right in the temple, because there was an insinuation of one who had no business being there, and so we see the fruit of it. Another thing that we see here is that when we fail in responsibility, there is no remedy to turn the clock back, so to speak. And so they ask him, you know, should we go and uproot the tares? And no. And so it's great mischief to think that we can reverse the damage that has been done in the profession of Christianity by unfaithfulness. Ours is just to go on faithfully for the Lord and hang our heads in shame that we have not been faithful in what the Lord committed to us.
I think what Neil has brought before us is important, because we are talking here of the responsibilities of Christians in the administration of the church in the world. The Lord goes on to deal with that, of course, in the 18th chapter. But when we read the 25th chapter, they all slumbered and slept. They all slumbered and slept. There's none of us that can say that we have fully lived up to our responsibilities as Christians. I believe it was Mr. Darby said that at the end of each dispensation, we see the utter failure of man in whatever responsibility God has given him. And I think it's important for us to realise this. By grace, by His grace, we have the privilege in these, the last days, of being gathered to His name. But we cannot claim that that is the result of any superior faithfulness on our part. I think we've got to confess our part in the general failure. Those that sleep are not aware of their responsibilities. And we see the divided state of the church in its outward form, shall I say, in these days, because men have slept. And I don't think any of us can separate ourselves from that and say, I've always perfectly lived up to my responsibility. That doesn't apply to me. And so I think it should be careful. We should be careful as we know that we have that privilege of being gathered to the Lord's name. We should be careful that we never ever claim any credit for it. It is by His grace alone that we have the privilege of remembering the Lord in His death according to His word. Lord's Day by Lord's Day, and may we continue so until He comes.
Just another interesting thing in connection with this word sleep, that it's not always a bad thing to be asleep, because the word that is used when it said the Lord slept in the boat was not the sleep of His body, but the sleep of His soul, if I may put it this way. He was oblivious to the storm that was going on around Him. And you know, a brother pointed that out to me when there was all this hysteria about Y2K, and somebody said to him, you've got to listen to these prophets of God. You can't ignore the prophets of God. He said, there may be a storm because of things coming on the earth, and the Lord may allow troubles, but the word, I have no word of the Lord to be excited about it. And there was a storm going on, and the Lord was asleep, and we would do well to sleep when the Lord sleeps and get excited, if I may put it reverently, when the Lord gets excited. And I think often we occupy ourselves with things that we should not occupy ourselves with, and then we're negligent in those things that we should be aware of. And then afterwards, we just have to hang our head and say we're just chasing a balloon, you know. These things come and go, and then after a while, then people realize it's like chasing those bubbles children blow. They get tired of chasing them, and the effect is that they turn aside from the Word of God. We need to be diligent in those things God's directed us, and to leave all these worries about whether there's going to be oil in the ground and the ecology and all the rest of it, and computers and all the rest of it. Leave it with the Lord.
Well, here in Matthew, you have six similitudes of the kingdom. The seventh one is Matthew 25. So it's interesting to see that similitude is a likeness of the kingdom. So we know that this is not the gospel of the grace of God, but it's a similitude of the kingdom. What's going on now, the Lord has sowed that good seed, but it's being mixed up with everything else. And so the fact of the six similitudes in this chapter, and then the seventh one, of course, is in Matthew 25. And it's very interesting to read that, how that, I'm just noticing here, they say, verse 27, so the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in the field? Whence then has it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? No. He said to them, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, who are the reapers? The angels.
gather ye together the first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them. But we know this is not really the gospel that we preach. We don't do that. It says, and gather the wheat into my barn. That's the principles of that kingdom, isn't it, that he's bringing out here.
And this is not the church. People say, well, you're not to root the tares up. This is not the church. This is the kingdom of heaven, that sphere of profession. But the Lord, the word to the Lord is very, of the word to us in the assembly is very clear in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. You're not straightened or narrowed in us, but you are straightened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Come out from among them and be ye separate, and I will receive you. That's the word to the assembly in connection with this. What we have here is we're to be separate. We often think about, well, how does the assembly receive? We should receive he who the Father has received, and the condition of that is to be separate from this religious confusion. And we shouldn't receive who the Father hasn't received, and if a person refuses... The word is to those that are going on in this confusion, come out from among them and be ye separate, and I will receive you. Man wants to continue in that religious confusion, then we see what the word of the Lord is. But here in the kingdom of heaven, they were just to acknowledge their failure of having slept and just to let the tares grow up together and to go on in faithfulness, in a pathway of faithfulness.
I think in 1 Corinthians, of course, the apostle distinguishes between those that are within and those that are without. And I think there's the area there of our Christian responsibility relates to those that were within. The principle is that those are without, that are without, God judges. And so, as you say, it's quite right, our word is to separate. The word to us is to separate from that which is without. From those tares that we find without. I was thinking too of, to put a practical point on it, when the apostle writes to the Galatians, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Is that a tear, brother?
Well,
now,
I did.
Was the responsibility, I'm sure, of the Galatian assembly in that respect. But out there, there are lots of tears. And I think you're right to say, well, we separate from them.
It's not just separating from tares in 1 Corinthians, and I hope I didn't confuse things by my remark, but it's those that refuse to separate themselves from that confusion. And so if I'm happy to go on in confusion, then I can't be received. That's the truth. I've gone beyond what is here. The point that he's really bringing out here is we cannot remedy that state of things in Christendom. The wheat and the tares are to be allowed to grow on together.
There's three spheres of things in Ephesians chapter 4 that might be profitable to look at. Sometimes at fairs and such things, you see a balloon vendor and he has balloons, one blown up inside of another. And so you might have three balloons. There's a little one inside, a bigger one outside, and then a big one outside that. And that's three spheres of things that are mentioned in Ephesians 4. Starting with verse 4, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling. Only true believers are indwelt by the Spirit of God. Only true believers in this time are part of the Church of God. That's that very inside sphere. Only that which is real is part of that sphere. There's another sphere outside of that. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. That's the sphere that we're taking up in our chapter in Matthew 13. It's characterized by those three things. One Lord. And the kingdom of heaven is a sphere of things in this earth that owns the authority of Christ in heaven. One Lord. They own him as Lord. They take that name. Christ is Lord. One Lord, one faith. We're part of the same faith. We follow that Lord. One baptism. That's the door, the entrance to that sphere. To be brought into that sphere, you have to come into through the door of baptism. To come into the sphere that owns the authority of Christ in heaven. He's gone from this scene. It's the time of the kingdom of heaven. The king isn't here. It's a mysterious form of the kingdom. There's a coming day and a coming